Going to get right into God's word tonight. We won't be in Nehemiah. God just laid upon my heart this week to do a message of thanksgiving. And so tonight we're going to be in the Gospel of Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. It won't be a long message. It'll be short to the point. And so you can get home early and spend time with your families and get to all of the food prepared for tomorrow. Luke 17. The title is Give Thanks to God Almighty. What I'd like to do first is read a Thanksgiving proclamation from the first president of the United States of America. And you know, it has been a long time since I've heard a proclamation from one of our government officials that gives thanks to Almighty God. So listen to this. President George Washington, and was mentioned earlier, there's also a proclamation you can Google online from Abraham Lincoln, who was a believer. And so this is from October 1789 by the President of the United States of America, a proclamation. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress, if you can believe that, both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Amazing, isn't it? Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th of November, next to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being, capital B, who is the beneficent author of all good that was, that is, and that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of his providence, which we experienced in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great decree of tranquility, union, and plenty, which we have enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness. Oh, that we would return to those things. And you know what? The best constitution of government for safety and happiness is right here, the Word of God. And particularly the nation one now lately instituted for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all the great and various favors which he has been pleased to confer upon us. And also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our nation and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed to protect and guide all sovereign nations especially such as have shown kindness unto us, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be best. Last but not least, given under my hand at the city of New York, the third day of October in the year of our Lord, 1789, George Washington. Well, times have sure changed, haven't they? Whew. Okay, let's get into God's words. A message of thanksgiving tonight, Luke 17. Give thanks to God Almighty. Have you noticed a lack of thankfulness lately? And not just recently, but over the past few years, decades. People are less and less thankful for what we've been given. My Bible tells me that God causes the sun to shine on the righteous as well as the unrighteous. Even people who don't believe in God, God still allows the sun to shine upon them. He still provides for them. It also says that God allows the rain to fall on the righteous and the unrighteous. And there are a lot of people today that don't realize or recognize where every single blessing comes from. We were talking in the office over the past few days. If I were to have to sit down and write the number of blessings that I have received from Almighty God, I don't think I could do it. Just think about it. Things we take for granted. Do you know there are people on this planet that wish they had toothpaste? That wish they had a bar of soap? A buddy of mine posted a picture of us in Vietnam. Every once in a while, we got to bathe in the river, and he posted, "Man, isn't it great to have a bar of Ivory soap?" Amazing how we just take a bar of soap for granted. We should give thanks for everything. We turn on the tap, we get water, we turn on the shower, we take a shower, we have towels, we have pillows, pillowcases. We have sheets, we have mattresses, all of these things. When is the last time you laid your head on the pillow at night and thanked God for your pillow? I do that all the time. Just thank you, Lord, for this bed that you've given me and the sheets and the blankets. And thank you, God, for this pillow. Thank you, God, for this precious wife that I have next to me and my precious children and grandchildren. Usually every Thanksgiving when we sit down and they ask me to pray, I tear up and choke up when I look around the table. You know why? And many of you can relate to this. There would be a lot of people that wouldn't be sitting there if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. I wouldn't have the grandkids that I have because I never would have gone into ministry and gone to Vermont, and my daughter would never have met her husband Mike there. And our grandkids, it just, what a precious gift that God has given me. And also my wife, she wouldn't be there either by now. And I would probably be dead and burning in hell with the path I was on. We have a lot to be thankful for. Give thanks to Almighty God. And the Bible tells us, we'll look at a couple of scriptures here tonight. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. How much is everything? Do you give God thanks for everything, or do you just think they're entitlements? I get a little bit irritated around this time of the year when we do Christmas shopping and we go through the checkout, and very rarely does anyone ever say thank you. It's like, have a good one. You know what I tell them? Merry Christmas. This is about Christmas. This is about Jesus Christ. All of a sudden, things get quiet. And I tell them, I'm thankful to Jesus Christ. I got the greatest gift already. Yeah, I've got some gifts from my friends, relatives, and loved ones, but I've got the greatest gift of all in my heart, and nobody can take it from me. Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How often is always? in all things. And isn't it wonderful, even as believers, we can give thanks for our trials, because it's a testing of our faith that produces perseverance. We grow more during our trials than we do the good times. We grow more in the valleys than we do on the mountaintop experiences. Not that I'm not thankful for the mountaintop experiences, but you know what? Look at your own personal life and the things that have happened in your life that have caused you to grow the most. The trials, the tests, the tribulations that come our way. And so before we look at the text, are we a thankful people? Very few people say thank you anymore. Do we give thanks in all things? Do we give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ? And so this evening in our text, Luke 17 has to do with giving thanks. We're not going to do the whole chapter. We're going to do verse 11 to 19, giving thanks to God Almighty. So let's read verse 11 through 19 together here tonight. Now it happened, as he, Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he, Jesus, passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, as he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner, this Samaritan? And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Father, we thank you for your word tonight, and we pray in Jesus' name and through the power of the Holy Spirit with thanksgiving that you would speak to us tonight how important it is to be a thankful people, to give thanks to God Almighty. Thank you, Lord, that we don't just have to celebrate it one day a year as believers who have been forgiven and cleansed and washed and pardoned and healed. We can give thanks every moment of every single day. And so, Lord, lead us and guide us here tonight. Challenge us, Lord, to be more of a thankful people. I need it. I need to be challenged, Lord, to be more thankful in my life. Less of a complainer and more of a thanksgiver. So lead us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we find in the first verse, verse 11, now it happened as he went to Jerusalem. The way to Jerusalem is always up. If you've ever been to Israel, it's a city on a hill. And whichever way you approach Jerusalem from, it's always up. And so our text tonight begins with Jesus heading up to Jerusalem. On his way, he passes through Samaria and Galilee. Religious Jews would not go through Samaria, but Jesus did. As a matter of fact, if any of the religious Jews even accidentally touched the soil of Samaria, they would go to the border and kick the dust off their feet so that they would not be defiled. Isn't that crazy to think you can be defiled by dirt, by soil, by mud? No. The greatest form of defilement known in this world today is sin. And you know what? You can't get rid of it by kicking the dust off your feet. We're not told the name of the Samaritan village, but it says a certain village. So this is a real place at a real time that Jesus passed through, a certain village. And we know it was in the area of Galilee. And there were a lot of Samaritans there, a lot of heathens. And as soon as he enters this certain village, he is met by 10 men. This did not take Jesus by surprise. Why? Because being God the Son, he's omniscient. He knows everything. Personally, I believe that he intentionally went this way on his way to Jerusalem because he knew that he would meet these 10 men. 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. According to the Levitical law, these men were to keep their distance. They could not even sit in public. And if they would come within a matter of feet to another person, they would have to shout out, "Unclean, unclean," to make way. How sad. Leviticus 13:44. And they were, according to the law, the Levitical law, unclean. They could not come into contact with other people. How sad must that have been? To contract leprosy and all of a sudden you could not embrace another person for the rest of your life. Imagine if you were married and had kids and grandkids and all, how sad that would be. You could not live with them. You had to go to a leper camp outside of the city. How sad. Oftentimes, again, that's another thing we take for granted, is having the privilege and blessing of embracing one another. One of the many things I love about this church is that we hug one another. I like that. Some churches slug it out. We hug it out. It's wonderful to embrace one another. And as I've mentioned many times to this flock, this is a church that's filled with love. And the reason it's filled with so much love is because we have received the love from above. We give out the love that has been given to us by Jesus Christ. We are now cleansed and washed. It's the washing of the word, renewing of our minds. We're clean spiritually. They could not come into contact with others. They had to dwell alone. They had to live outside of the village in complete isolation. How sad. People need people. Would you say that's true? And one of the things that bothers me again today about our culture is we're becoming more and more isolated from people. Rather than face-to-face, we just text, email, whatever. I love face-to-face contact. I love Sundays. I love Wednesdays. I love every time we get together with the body of Christ because I love people. And I know you guys feel the same way. We get to come face-to-face and encourage one another. We're family. We're going to spend eternity in heaven together. But look what's happening today. All of a sudden, 2 years ago, COVID hits our nation. And look what it did. It isolated everybody. And it still isolated people to this day. There's people that still have not returned to church. There's still people that have not returned to work. How sad. Still people wearing masks all over the place. Isolation. I believe that that's one of the enemy's tools. Divide and conquer. To isolate. To get you separated. I need you and you need me. We need to be able to pray for one another, encourage one another, embrace one another. We need to weep together. We need to laugh together. That's what it means to be family. That's what it means to be a body. We love each other. We hurt together. We rejoice together. We give thanks together. Today, leprosy is known as Hansen's disease. It's not as prevalent as it was years ago, but there are still places in this world where Hansen's disease, leprosy, is still ruining people's flesh and lives. It begins with brownish red spots. And the people would go to the priest, according to Leviticus. And if the priest recognized it had leprosy, they would tell them that they had to isolate themselves. How sad. And later, these brown, reddish spots would become thick nodules. I have a Bible dictionary in my office, and I looked up leprosy again. And I've got pictures of people with leprosy, and it's so sad. When you see what it does to their body, it goes from brownish-red spots to ulcerated sores. Pussy, runny, ulcerated sores, leading to deformity. And it mutilates external body parts. Your ears will rot off. Your nose will rot right off your face. Your fingers, your toes. And eventually, it will lead to the rotting away of your flesh, leading to death. What a horrible, horrible disease. Leprosy is to the flesh what sin is to the soul. That's why I chose this text here tonight. It's one thing for your flesh to be defiled and decayed and to rot away, but it's yet another thing for your soul to rot away because of sin. Leprosy is to the flesh. I think it's a physical picture of what sin does spiritually to a person's soul. There are sins of the flesh. There are sins of the spirit. Sins of the spirit are envy, jealousy, strife. These things that just erode your soul from the inside. They will destroy you. It begins with just a little bit, doesn't it? Just as leprosy begins with a little bit and begins to erode the flesh, sin begins to erode the soul. And the Bible very clearly says that all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. We are all sinners. Praise be to God, just as the same thing with these men, these 10 men that we see here in this certain village. Jesus Christ does not leave us in this state if we choose. He does not leave us in this state of our soul being eroded by sin. As sin, too, is a death sentence. The wages of sin is death. Sin, too, it decays and it destroys. We're all witnesses of that, aren't we? Many of us more of an extent than others. Many of us live decadent lifestyles. Lifestyles that were destroying us. Sin decays, destroys. Sin also, like leprosy, separates and isolates. Look how many people are separated from their families, from their spouse, from their children. They've been separated and isolated from their sin because they're consumed by it. Not only that, sin can also infect others. We too were unclean before we met Jesus Christ. As these 10 men stood afar off, it says they all lifted up their voices, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us," verse 13. Their heart cry. And imagine 10 men, 10 grown men, whose bodies were decaying from leprosy, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When Jesus saw them, and of course heard their cry, he says to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Many times in Scripture, Jesus comes in contact with people whose lives are being destroyed by sin. Many times, Jesus will tell them to do something to challenge their faith. Now, when he's told these 10 men to go and show themselves to the priest, all 10 of them could have said, "What? What are you talking about? I've got leprosy. I can't even go to the priest." We have two choices, don't we, when the Lord tells us to do something: to obey and be cleansed, or to disobey and continue on in our decayed situation. Imagine. Go and show yourselves to the priests. And lo and behold, so it was, second part of verse 14. As they went, they were cleansed. You see what they did? They believed Jesus at his word. You and I have the same choice. Do you really believe Jesus at his word? I believe every word in this incredible book called the Bible. Every single word. The day that I don't believe every word in this book, you will not see me in this pulpit. I believe in every word of this book with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength. These are the words of eternal life. These words in this incredible book cleanse. These words in this incredible book reunite people, families, marriages, relationships, because this is God's word. And it's God's will that none should perish, but all would come to a saving knowledge of the truth. So just think about it. You know, it's fun when you read God's word to put yourself in their sandals. If you were there with these 10 men, what would it be like when you did what Jesus said and you went to see the priest, and all of a sudden while you're walking along, all of a sudden you're cleansed. All of a sudden you look down at your deformed hands. Boom. All of a sudden that ear that rotted off or that nose that rotted right off your face is restored. And then you look at your buddy next to you and go, man, dude, your nose is back. And your ears and your fingers and your toes. Imagine, I can't even imagine what that must have been like for these 10 lepers, really. They had a death sentence. They were rotting and decaying to death. I got a little glimpse of this when I was in Vietnam. We used to get these sores, ulcerated sores on our body. I forget the percentage on mine. It was horrible. And it was almost like when you had a vaccination, you have this scab that gets runny pus in it. They were all over our body. And the sad thing about it is the flies would get in there and bite, and it was horrible. So we had to wear long sleeves and long clothes that cover our flesh. I can't imagine what it was like for these guys, with their fingers just rotting off of their hands and their toes and just the extreme pain. And the flies, can you imagine, in the Middle East? The flies all over their bodies in these pussy, ulcerated sores. Aren't you glad it's not Thanksgiving Day and we're not getting ready to sit down and eat? No, but this is true, isn't it? Can you imagine what it was like while they're walking? All of a sudden, the ulcerated, oozing, pussy sores are healed. Their deformity, their ears, fingers, noses, toes restored. And their skin. They probably didn't even have a zit. Because when God does a work, he does a work. Completely cleansed 100%. Imagine what that must have been like. Can you imagine? Like I said, I like to put myself in their sandals just to try to even think what it must have been like. But you know what this is? This is a physical picture of what happens to a person's soul when Jesus forgives us of all of our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We get a glimpse of that when we come to know the Lord. The healing we receive, the restoration, the things that God does in our own personal lives that should cause us to weep and fall at his feet and rejoice. We have a lot to be thankful for, folks. We really, really do. To be totally cleansed from all of our sin and all of our unrighteousness. And the Bible tells us that we are robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ completely. Imagine. Cleansed of all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus is the best cleansing agent in the history of mankind. It completely cleanses us of all. How much is all? All of our defilement. You know what, even during the day, every day, we all go out, like what we're talking about Sunday, walking in this world, our feet get dirty, we get defiled, but you know, we can be cleaned right on the spot, can't we? Because if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us for all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Right there in the spot. No more defilement. Completely cleansed. You ever stop and think about that? Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we get so caught up in the world, in our day-to-day routine, in the rat race. You know, the rat race is only for rats. And I think it's important sometimes just to stop and give thanks. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm completely cleansed from all unrighteousness, all sin, all defilement. I'm not the person I used to be. Praise be to God. Righteousness instead of rottenness. We were rotten. Reborn and no longer deformed. He that's in Christ is a new creation. All of the old things have passed away. How far have they gone away? The Bible tells us that God remembers our sin no more. They're into the deepest part of the sea. All of the old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. All things. It's the new you. And should this not cause all of us to be the most thankful people on the planet? I get convicted when I read sections like this on thankfulness. You know why? Because I can whine, and I can murmur, and I can complain. I can go out and get something to eat and sit down and bow my head and give thanks for the food and then complain about it. How sick is that? Pray for me. You probably never do that. But you know what? Tomorrow, when that bird's sitting on the table, be it a turkey or whatever you prepare, give thanks for the food. Give thanks to that person that prepared it. Give thanks to God that you can give thanks. We should be the most thankful people on earth. Why? Because the Bible says, in everything give thanks. Giving thanks always and in all things to God Almighty. Do we really give thanks in all things? And again, it's a challenge. I'm not here to put a guilt trip on you. I often tell people, when I'm sharing God's word, it's a two-edged sword. Part of it is doing the surgery on you guys, and guess what? The other part's doing surgery on me. I need it desperately. You guys only need to hear it one time on a Wednesday or Sunday. I hear it three times. When I'm studying, when I'm preaching it, and then when I go home, put my head on the pillow that I give thanks for. The message is going over and over. I guess God knows I need to hear it three times. But I think we just really, this Thanksgiving, like never before, need to focus on being a thankful people. So let's see what happens here to these 10 lepers. Look at verses 15 to 18. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Wow. Doesn't this blow you away? All 10 of them, by faith, when Jesus said, go, show yourself to the priest, all of them, by faith, went. And guess what? They were all cleansed. But only one comes back to give thanks. Only one out of the 10. Does that mean that only 10% of the world is thankful today? I don't know. I don't know what the statistics are. It's not up to me to judge or decide what percentage of the world gives thanks today. But I think it's less than it used to be when this proclamation was written by George Washington, when we were a Christian nation and we worshiped God Almighty and we obeyed God's word and we had godly men in office proclaiming God's word. and they were not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Only one out of the 10 went back with a loud voice. Again, can you imagine what that was like? He was probably screaming, falling on his face, giving thanks to God, giving glory to God. And guess what? He was a despised Samaritan. They were despised. They were considered unclean, even if they didn't have leprosy, by the Jews. We don't know about the other nine. I believe maybe some of them were Jews that had leprosy. Maybe this guy could have been the only Samaritan in the group. But he was the foreigner, it says here. He was the only one that returned to give glory to God. It's so easy to take our blessings, and there are many, for granted. Again, I'm convicted. There's so many things that I should give thanks for that oftentimes I take for granted. And I'm sure we're all at times guilty of that. We live in a world that is popular. It's real popular to have entitlements. I got news for you. You know what the number one entitlement is for mankind? Hell and separation from God. And Jesus Christ, in his great love, came into this world and took our sins upon himself so that we could be made clean. So we no longer have to unclean. But yet it's so easy to take our blessings for granted, failing to give thanks to our Lord. And that's what it means to take your blessings for granted when we don't give thanks to him. And all too often, we're content to enjoy all of the gifts, yet forget the giver. We need to worship and give thanks to the giver of all good things, the Lord. Here's this outcast, a Samaritan. He shouts glory to God and falls on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. I got to believe that that's what we're going to do when we see Jesus face to face in heaven. I think we're going to be right on our face. You know why? Every instance that I see in Scripture where people, like John in the book of Revelation, when he met Jesus face to face, he fell right on his face. The Bible says he was like a dead man. I got a feeling we're going to be flat on our face. But that's the best place to be. I want to give thanks. I want to worship him. I want to be at his feet. I want to thank him so much. But you know what? I don't have to wait to give thanks to him. We can give thanks to him right now for everything that he provides. 17 to 19, one more time. Jesus said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Why? Because God's the one that healed him. And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. You see where it says your faith has made you well in the original language? Your faith has saved you. Yeah. Meaning that the other 9 left, cleansed of their leprosy, but they were not cleansed of their sin. Meaning that the 9 were cleansed of their leprosy, but you, he said, were not only cleansed of leprosy, but from all your sin. Your faith has saved you. Your faith has made you well. We find that with Jesus in a lot of places. Woman at the well. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has saved you. How were you saved? How was I saved? For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's a gift of God. Believing God at his word. And when we believe him at his word, we are cleansed from all defilement, past, present, future. And we are whiter than snow, the Bible says. In closing, told you it was going to be a short one tonight. Every child of God should be filled, overflowing with thanksgiving. Not just on the last Thursday of November, but on every day that ends in Y. Why? because if there's anybody that should be thankful, it should be us, every moment of every day. You know what happens when we're thankful people? It lifts up our heart, and it blesses our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when we give thanks for what they have done and what they continually do, not only here on earth, but what they will continually do for you and I throughout all eternity in heaven. The best is yet to come. We have no idea what awaits us. But you know what? We need to give thanks, because a thankful heart blesses, glorifies, and pleases our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, we are truly blessed. And you know what? We are going to bless him and thank him throughout all eternity. So I would encourage you, as we close tonight, I know you've heard it over and over and over and over, but I need to hear it over and over and over. We need to be thankful people. And again, if there's anybody on the planet that should be thankful, it should be us. And it's not because of the things we have. There are some Christians on this planet that have absolutely nothing, that are more thankful than a lot of Christians that pretty much have everything in this world. We complain. Complain about the house, complain about the car, complain about the food, complain about the shower. It's like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Too hot, too cold, just right. You know, the food, too hot, too cold, just right. Come on. We need to be a thankful people like never before. And I would pray for each and every one of us that God would deeply impress this within our hearts and our minds for 24/7, not just for tomorrow. But at the same time, tomorrow, when you get together with your friends and relatives and loved ones, take a moment to thank them. Take a moment to tell them how much you love them. And you know what that'll do? That will lift up your heart, and it will lift up the heart of God. And give thanks for everybody there. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you make it very clear to us how important Thanksgiving is. Look what you have done for us. You've forgiven us. You've cleansed us from all defilement, all sin, all unrighteousness. All of those things that were going to destroy us, Lord, you have removed. We should truly be thankful. And I pray in Jesus' name, through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that beginning right at this moment, that you would continue to impress upon our hearts that we need to give thanks to Almighty God for all things. We love you. Praise you. I thank you for everybody here tonight. I thank you for those watching on YouTube. I thank you for the wonderful worship tonight with Chuck and Stephen. And in about 10 minutes, we're going to be thanking you for the pie that you provided here tonight. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand and let's give thanks.